This is Soulful Living on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Terry Williams.
Hey, wherever you are in the world today, I welcome you to another 30 minutes of Soulful Living here at Empower Radio. I'm trying to reach across and get the attention of my producer, and now he's going to turn around. Look at me. Yay! I had a lot of volume there, but it was good. I liked listening to my own music. So we were just talking about hearing yourself on the radio and whether you like it or not. And when I introduce my guest today, Alyanka Larionov, maybe we'll touch on that just a little bit. She's got a great voice, and I look forward to the feedback. So let me tell you a little bit about Alyanka. I was introduced to her through a friend and a friend of my daughter. So I feel very honored to be sitting here across from Alyanka. She's got a beautiful smile, a warm, bright personality, and as you will hear, an exceptional story that I think a lot of us can relate to, especially at the soul level. And maybe you're afraid to talk about it. And hopefully over the course of time, you'll run across Alyanka's path and some of that fear will be eliminated. So welcome to Soulful Living. Don't feel like there's any pressure.
No pressure at all. Although I do feel like I need to do a better job of marketing what I do, because now I'm like, how are people going to find what it is that I do? I guess online, or maybe if you're listening to this.
Hi. Well, they're going to find it listening to this and your website. All of that information, of course, will be on the Soulful Living page, but AlyankaLarionov.com.
Yeah.
And I was introduced to you at first because of the women's circles, although they are not exclusive to women. You host co-ed and you host men's circles. So let's start with that. What are they?
Yeah, so I always talk about them in that they're kind of like the unknown. So we live in this world right now where we've been so disconnected with our intuition. At this point, like, we're literally walking down the road looking at our phone and having our Google Maps open. Like, we're so disconnected with whether or not we should turn left or right. If we enter into something, we already know the restaurant we're going into. We know what we're going to order. Like, we've literally researched everything that we can about anyone and everything. So for me, it's important to provide the experience of the unknown. And so within these workshops, what people can expect, although I advise to not come in with any expectations, but what you can expect is a moderated conversation on what it means to be a human being in society. The location changes every single workshop. I don't provide the location details until the morning of, which causes a lot of anxiety for people. I get a lot of emails where they're like, so where is this? What time should I be there? I'm always just like, take a breath. You'll get it when you get it. It's not going to change anything. You don't know who's going to be there. When I send out the emails, everyone's BCC'd. And you don't know what we're going to be talking about until you sit down. And originally, when I started these workshops, I had this idea where I kind of wanted to lead with a topic, and so I'd provide these workshops, and it was all this work, and I found myself in a place of control again, which
and
is...
And stress.
Control
Probably
and stress.
Stressed out about
yeah,
it.
Like, yeah, but mostly control, and I think that we can get to that within my story, but it's something that I've been working on, is kind of surrendering. So I changed the format and created this thing called the Bowl of Trust. And the Bowl of Trust allows me to be on the same energy level as everybody else, where I'm not sure where the conversation's going to go. So I too am scared, but it's a good kind of scared, because within that space of the unknown, within the space of fear, there is immense growth. And so that's what the experience is. That's as far as I'd like to talk about it. The rest, you just kind of have to embrace it, surrender, and take part of what presents itself in it.
Well, two things about that. I absolutely loved the Bowl of Trust. Mm. I have since thought of reaching out to you, figuring out how can I incorporate that into my work. You know, I host shamanic circles. That's not about me right now. This is all about you. But I have thought to myself, how can I incorporate that? Because it's so cool. It's so inspiring and intriguing to not know what the topic is. And at first you might feel put on the spot. I felt like that. I can't speak for anybody else that was at the circle that I went to, but I kind of felt like that. And then I thought, you know what? It's good because it does cause you to think, step outside of your norm and grow. And I think that that's a huge part of your circles is that growth, inner growth, on top of the connection. I thought that was really, really cool.
Yeah, I feel like the bowl of trust can be incorporated in anybody's life. To me, all that that is not having fear in asking a question. You know, and not having fear of rejection or of sounding like you don't know something. You know, a lot of times when I pull out whatever is in the bowl of trust, I just have to lean on my intuition, and I have to be okay with the fact that I might not know, you know, who wrote this, why they wrote this, where the conversation will lead, how it'll change the energy, but by surrendering to what is happening organically in that space, I'm actually flexing my muscle of getting in tune with myself and also creating the ability to know how to handle life, in that life throws curveballs at you all the time.
Right.
Right. And we're not prepared in handling that because we're not used to actively being in that space of the unknown and seeing like, how do I feel right now? And why do I feel this way? And what can I do with this opportunity that life is bringing me?
Well, okay, so let's just rewind a little bit. You have come to this journey embracing the path of recovery. And do you feel like you would have had these same thoughts and feelings maybe 2 years ago? You know, to trust the process and to be open to what was coming for, you know, coming in front of you and being able to stand up and support a group like this, had you, if you were where you were 2 years ago? I'm just curious about that.
Yeah, I would say, you know, I'm approaching my 1 year of recovery for an eating disorder. And
congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. And I feel that that change the trajectory of my life. I think what it did was really crack me open. But so with that in mind, when you think about something cracking open, that means that there was already something there inside. And if you look back on my life, since the second grade, I've been keeping a diary. And since the second grade, I've been asking the same questions I'm asking now, which is, what is the human condition all about? And so I think over time, you know, I'm not the only one, but over time, society, life, family beats that core out of you, makes you feel small. And so I always had that thought. I always wanted to have those conversations, and I was kind of having them. You know, funny enough, I was having them mostly when I was drinking.
Right. When we have no inhibitions, you know, we're a little bit like, okay, let's just talk about this shit.
Right. But what I realized in sobriety and within my recovery is that I had all those answers. And I had that strength. I just needed to believe in myself again. And I do think that that's what recovery provided me, was the stillness to find my voice and to believe in it again.
So from a shamanic perspective, when we experience deep crises like that, it's almost like an initiation back to spirit, back to yourself, and an awakening in you to be able to step in your power and trust more deeply in the process of the divine or creation or source or whatever it is that you want to call it, right? But we think of those times, many cultures think of those crises as an initiation and an awakening for you. And it sounds like that's kind of where it was, you know, that it awoke in you that connection with yourself. And that there's a quote, I don't know it, I'm not going to do it justice, I'm sure, but there's a quote about having all the answers inside of you. You know, they were always there.
Yeah.
You know, the answers were always there. You just didn't know how to obtain them, or, you know.
Yeah, you know, one of the more profound moments of this past year was when I found myself in Germany for 22 days at this retreat of holistic, homeopathic, no technology. And I ended up befriending a monk, which I know sounds strange, but we ended up kind of having these conversations. And I always say that it was astounding to see somebody actively seek the silence, mm-hmm. because within the silence, and he would prolong the silence. It was almost like he was working with clay, you know, where he started with this kind of hard structure and he would kind of like pull it aside. And then from there would come this revelatory answer that I thought both was, how did he come up with this? And also, wow, that's so obvious. How did I not see
that? How did I see that? Right.
But I feel that when we finally get that calling to reconnect with our spirit, you know, it's easy to hear that, meaning it's easy for someone to say, okay, like, well, great, I hear it, but like, what do I do with it? And so to me, it's accessing the silence and the stillness and being with your thoughts and being with your body and being with yourself. And all of a sudden, like, as once you declutter, you're just able to hear things, whether it comes in the form of a friend or a person that you meet, mm-hmm. or an email that you receive. I mean, you just start picking up on these signs, and in a way it's like going to the gym. You start flexing that muscle,
right.
and you just build strength and you become a believer. So that's where it feels like I am, mm-hmm. right now. And it's not perfect, I have to say that. Right? Like, mm-hmm. I think people feel that once you start on that path, it's perfection, it's great, you're recovered or whatever it means. It's not.
Oh, let me tell you, I've been in recovery for 25 years, right? And it's not.
Yeah.
From sobriety, and I also had an eating disorder before I had my children. Different, we could talk about that another day, but so I can sympathize and understand and empathize where you are on your journey. And it is not perfect. Every day it's a roller coaster. There's ups and there's downs. And, you know, a lot of times we portray on social media or our public face makes it look like everything's okay. One of the things that I absolutely love about how you're showing up is that you show the lows and the highs,
yeah,
right?
It's, I do.
You're open about it, and you show your vulnerabilities. And I think it's really important for people to see that. Even in my work, the F-bomb is my favorite word. You know, I tell people there's a lot of F-ups and there's a lot of down. It's just the way it is, you know?
Yeah.
But I love that you share that piece of you so that other people can really relate to that and hopefully find something through your journey to help them heal their own life.
I spent so much of my life trying to be perfect, mm-hmm. and trying to please everybody's expectations, including my own. And there's something so liberating in just being yourself, with your flaws, with your imperfections, with your scars, with your bruises. I find that specifically for this generation, with how connected we are to social media, we've created a world where we live through a highlight reel and nothing is authentic anymore. Mm-hmm. We share the 1% most glamorous side of ourselves and hide the 99% truths. And so we're kind of perpetuating this cycle and this belief system that everybody has it and we don't.
Right.
Because when we compare what we see on the screen to what's happening around us, we think, why am I not traveling? Why am I not engaged? Why do I not look like that? Why is my kid not perfect? Why am I not enjoying my pregnancy?
Right.
You know, all of these things. And the truth is that majority of those people who are smiling on screen are actually feeling those very same insecurities.
Right.
And I felt responsible. I felt responsible for the image that I was portraying for 10 years of this girl who was thin, who had a really amazing career and great family. Not that that wasn't true, but it wasn't the entire truth.
Right.
You know, the entire truth was that I've had a very difficult relationship with both of my parents. I've had a difficult time within my industry and that it was male dominated, and I couldn't figure out how to be a woman and to stand by my morals and ethics. And the entire time I was suffering from anorexia.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a message was I setting, you know? Right. So it made sense to me that if I wanted to talk the talk and if I wanted to nudge people to make a change, I had to be authentic and genuine and raw and true. And I encourage others to do the same.
I love that word raw because we all feel it. We all experience moments of being raw.
You know, this makes me think of something you said at the Women's Circle. When you said raw, I thought about raw foods.
Yes.
And I thought about real, whole raw food that our body needs.
Right.
And you made this incredible statement where you said,
oh, yeah, the food.
Yeah. Where you said, you know, we're at least more aware and cognizant of the types of foods that we're eating. So we're not leaning towards processed foods anymore. We're eating whole foods. But why aren't we doing this with our friends?
Right.
And so the same can be said for anything. If something's toxic for you, find a way to remove yourself from the situation or not be around it anymore. So I think like raw applies to everything, right?
Absolutely. And that it's okay, right? That it's okay to remove yourself from those toxic situations and let go of whatever attachment there is to it. It's okay.
Yeah.
You that's funny because you were talking about being quiet enough to hear the messages. And yesterday I was watching Sesame Street with my grandson and one of the clips, the character said, everything's going to be okay.
Mm.
And I thought, yeah, I mean, that's really soul wisdom, is that everything's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. No matter what, whether we're too high or too low, it's going to be okay. And we can be raw. And I think of food every time I hear that raw, like we're cracking it open. So it's beautiful. It's really beautiful. So listeners, I'm talking with Aliana Larionov. You can find all of her information on the Soulful Living page and Empower Radio. She has some women's groups coming up, men's groups, a co-ed group coming up that I have not experienced. I've heard really cool things about. And she also does one-on-one coaching. Let's talk a little bit about that. What does that look like for you? And do listeners just reach out through your website for that?
Yeah, it's definitely all the information can be found on the website. The one-on-ones for me are an extension of what the workshops are. So when we're sitting in circle for either the men's or the women's, you know, there's a certain amount of people in there. So you can't really get as deep as certain people would like to. So I offer the one-on-ones where we can really explore your story. You know, it's similar in the way of the 10 years that I spent in media of interviewing celebrities and athletes and whoever else would cross my way, in that I had to learn pretty quickly how to use the 3 to 5 minutes that I had with them to get to the core and to the source of their pain, their sorrow, their story, or why they lost a game, you know?
Right.
So the one-on-ones are very similar in that sense, where it's a conversation. It's an opportunity to be heard, to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I really allow you to kind of dictate where you want to go. And us, you know, unlike therapy, classical therapy, I suppose maybe it's more like CBT in that we kind of want to break the patterns that exist, but I also draw a plan. You know, I really believe in actionable items.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe in setting an intention. And so there's this accountability that comes with that. So in a way, it's problem solving.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, come to me with your problems. Let's talk them out. Let's hash them out. Let's write them down. A lot of times we write because writing is so cathartic and we're able to see what we're dealing with. And then let's make a plan and follow up and take it from there. I hesitate to say, like, let's figure it out, because what does that mean?
Right.
You know, we're all a work in progress. Mm-hmm. I'm still figuring it out. I'm sure you are too. So
totally. How do I get in the studio on a Tuesday, not a Monday, you know? Of course, yeah, I'm totally figuring it out.
But no, it's a It's great. But I do think the workshops are fantastic in that, aside from it being really a powerful experience for you individually, it provides you a community that you might have not otherwise been able to meet or to be part of.
Yeah. And connection without judgment. That was one of the things that I really loved. It's there was no judgment. Everybody embraced each other. I mean, I have chills from head to toe because I thought that was so cool. I've been to events where you can literally see the way somebody across the room looks at you like, oh my God, why is she wearing that? You know, or oh, this, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
None of that. Everybody was just so open and welcoming and honoring people wherever they are. I saw Oprah speak one time when she was here. I had a media pass, and I remember her on stage, and she said something like, I can talk to anybody. And I thought, wow, wouldn't it be really cool if Oprah changed that terminology to say, I can talk with anybody.
Mm.
I can meet them where they are, whoever they are, whether they are a top celebrity or whether they're the homeless guy on the corner. Wouldn't it be really cool if Oprah could just say, I could talk with anybody? And that's how I feel about myself. That's how I felt when I walked into your workshop, that you are open and that you can talk with anybody without judgment, simply wanting to be there too. And I got this from your website. You mentioned it earlier, and I really loved it. I have to find it for a second. You talked about the human condition and that was something that you had thought about since you were two. I feel weepy. Okay? And you said, the antidote to the human condition is to live in love. That's what I see, how you're showing up right now, is that you could talk with anybody and that you're living in love. You are an example of what it means to say, this is where I'm at, and I'm going to meet you where you're at too, and maybe help you transcend whatever suffering you're in the middle of.
Yeah, I think living in love is so much easier than living in fear.
Yeah.
Living in fear is just, it's so much work.
Yeah.
You know, so the only thing that I could advise is just release that fear as best you can and start to experience love for others and for yourself, because there's such abundance there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you talked about that in the workshop, about loving yourself. And I don't know how men embrace that. Maybe Remy can raise his hand here, right? But, you know, really, to me, it's a world issue that we are not loving ourselves enough in a non-narcissistic way.
Yeah, you'd be surprised, actually, within the men's groups, the men are quite vulnerable. Mm. They're quite vulnerable and willing to speak and willing to be heard. And they're actually really good at listening. I think the major issue is that there's a disconnect happening between men and women.
Mm-hmm.
We're not communicating, or we're fearful of showing ourselves because we don't want to be judged, or we don't want to be abandoned, rejected. And so I feel like it just goes to show that if we really practice active listening,
mm-hmm.
we can really make anybody feel like they belong and like they matter. And that's really all that we want as human beings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is, isn't it? We want to be accepted and loved 100%. Okay, we're getting down to the wire here.
Mm-hmm. Scary.
I know. Doesn't it go by fast?
So fast.
A half an hour goes by so, so fast. Again, listeners, I want to remind you that I've been talking with Alyanka Larionov. You can find all of her information on the Soulful Living page, her groups, her one-on-one sessions.
My podcast.
Her podcast. We didn't talk about that. Let's talk about it real quick. Give me a minute rundown on that podcast.
The podcast is basically the education I never had.
Mm.
So it's an opportunity for me to talk to people who have either gone through trauma or adversity and have created successful lives for themselves. And I just pick them apart and say why. And
yeah.
So it's a mini education for me and for everybody who's listening.
it's an amazing tool. I love it. I've been doing this for 8 years, and I always tell people, I do my podcast so that I can learn, and if one other person does too, yeah. so be it. That's yep. amazing. Mm-hmm. So I would say, and your blog. You know, you've got Twitter, you're on social media. You've sent out some really cool blog posts. The most recent one, I don't know if it was a blog post or to your list, but it was on time, and I thought that was really cool,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, my newsletter. Yeah. It was just about death, and that if there's one thing that's not guaranteed in life, it's time. Mm-hmm. So we best make, you know, use of what we have and really live it fully. It was just a reminder. It's too hard to explain in words, but you know, we don't have time. We're not guaranteed to have time. Right. And so we just need to be as present as we possibly can.
Yeah, that's the truth. So I always ask my guests to leave the listeners with a thought they can take out into the day. I feel like so many of the insights that you shared today could be that. Mm. Is there anything else you want to add to that?
Yeah, very quick and short. I always say in my workshops, when you speak your truth, the right person stays.
Mm. Oh, I love that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here with me today. And thank you for being part of my journey.
Thank you,
Deep
Terry.
Bow.